Om Shanti, Namaskar. A very warm welcome to all of you in the Raj Yoga meditation course, which we are starting from today onwards. And it's an online course, and it is our pleasure that we all are connected today with this Raj Yoga online camp. And today is the first chapter that we'll be taking in the Raj Yoga meditation course. The first chapter starts with the self-realization course. So this is a very basic meditation course, and I request all of you to take all the sessions and don't miss any of the session, because all the sessions are very necessary and it is compulsory that you go through all the sessions. And if you miss any session, then definitely the link is broken. So here we start. So first chapter is self-realization. Now, as we start with this chapter, as we start to know ourselves, there is a question that arises in our mind, that what is my original identity, or who am I? Have you asked this question to yourself, who am I? But definitely we have had a lot of answers to this question, because there are a lot of tags, there are a lot of things that we have identified ourselves with. For example, we have nationality or name. We definitely have a name, and we always show our identity card. We always carry our identity card. You know, whenever we ask someone, what is your identity? So then we show the identity cards, and we are so confident about our identity, that who I am and what I do and what I belong to, where I live. So I am so confident about telling myself that who I am. And we identify ourselves with so many things. So we have got lot many tags attached to our personality, like nationality. What nationality I belong to? Am I an Indian, or am I an American, or a Britisher? So what nationality I belong to? Then there are other tags like, what is my position? I'm a managing director, or I'm a doctor, or I'm an engineer. So my positions are different in whatever organization, in whatever thing I am doing. Then my qualifications, I'm an MBBS doctor, I'm an engineer, I'm a pilot. So what I have done, so accordingly my qualifications. Then again we have other tags too, like what my gender is, I'm a male or I'm a female. Then what my religion is. And based on these tags, we have got lot many perceptions about myself. And secondly, the perceptions about the people whom I meet. So I try to identify people, I try to filter out people whom I meet and interact with based on these tags. For example, there are people who live in some countries and they feel that they are superior than the people living in other country. So nationality does leave a very big impact on our perception about who I am. Similarly, we have qualification, and based on qualification, sometimes I feel myself as I am either underqualified, or I am overqualified, or highly qualified. So if a highly qualified person is put in a job where he is not being paid, you know, properly, or he is not being given what he really deserves, then he definitely feels left out, and he definitely feels like that he is not getting what he really deserves. And if a underqualified person is actually put at a job, at a task where he is getting a lot of things, then definitely they are, according to the perception, according to the identity, we always feel like these people are getting more and I am not getting that. Similarly, position, according to position, according to this tag, I identify myself as I am superior to that person, my position is this, and the other person's position is less. For example, if there is a boss and the relation between a boss and employee changes a lot, because the boss thinks that I am at a higher position and the employee thinks I am at a lower position. So based on that, the relationships changes. And similarly, the other tags that we see, religion. So when it comes to religion, definitely it's the biggest tag, because based on this tag, the whole society is divided nowadays. The whole thing is divided. And this perception, this filter out so many behavioral patterns within, all of us. And we interact with people when we just listen to what religion they belong to. So there are lot many things that divide us. And then when it comes to gender, similarly, based on gender, there are a lot of differences. Even today, there are lot of, things where female are taken for granted when it comes to, you know, equality, where we talk about equality of both of the genders, but it is not practically seen in lot many things in our daily lives. So what exactly is my original identity? So now, because my whole identity is based on these tags, and I'm identifying myself with these tags, but I'm left out somewhere. My happiness is left out somewhere. And I'm focusing completely on these tags in my life. I'm completely focused on achieving more based on these tags. Based on the position I'm working, I want to achieve a bigger position. Based on the qualification, I want to be highly qualified. And based on all these things, I am thinking that I want to reach a level, I want to achieve success on the basis of these tags. But we need to really cut off these tags. And when I am actually cutting off these tags, what exactly is my original identity? Because all these tags, all these things that I have put on myself, all these things are temporary. So they are coming and going. These things are coming and going in my life. The position is not going to be forever, definitely. And the qualifications, the more progress we do in our daily life, the qualifications at the end of the day doesn't matter. And then the religion, when the religion comes into picture, the religion also doesn't matter, because when we go deep into religion, the religions are also divided, and we see there are a lot of, you know, struggle happening within religion, a lot of division happening within religion. So there are the things that are actually I am focusing on, they are not truly, you know, giving me a real identity. So the next thing that I have identified myself is with this body, because when I remove all those tags that I was talking about, the next thing that remains is my body. And now when I see myself in the mirror, I see this body growing. From my childhood, I have seen myself growing, and I have seen whole of the thing changing, and I have seen this body of five elements. When I was smaller, I used to look like this, and when I have grown old, I look like this. And the older I grow, the lot of features change, lot of things change in my body, and accordingly I identify myself that now I am young, now I am older. So later on, day by day, this identity is also changing. So just think about it, this thing, that these five elements, which are so temporary, because at every moment I am seeing these five elements coming in my body and leaving at a particular time. So even the doctors and the researchers have said that a human body changes its cells in 7 to 10 years. The whole body changes in 7 to 10 years. So the body that you are seeing is going to change after 7 to 10 years. The whole cells are going to get replaced. So it's not going to be same forever. So what is my identity? I am identifying myself as the body, which is completely changing after 7 to 10 years. So what exactly am I? So now this is a very big question. And when we ask ourselves, that how should I identify myself? So when I look myself in the mirror, so first of all, ask yourself, who am I? And then you will get this answer, that I am a soul, a conscient point of light, which is present in between the hypothalamus and the pituitary gland. So there is a hypothalamus and pituitary gland in the center of your forehead. And when you go deep within, you will find a conscient point of light. A lot of names are there that we call for the soul. It's called spirit sometimes. It's called atma. It's called a being, the point, the being. And then it's called the spirit. And then it's called consciousness. So there are lot many things that we talk, when we talk about soul, there are lot many names that people have given to soul. So what exactly is soul? So when self-realization course, the more deep we go into this course, we will be talking about the soul, the consciousness, the being of light, the jyoti, the prakash, that we all, this is the missing part, the missing identity. And the more we go and the more in the more depth we have of the soul, the more knowledge we have of the soul, the better our life will become. Now we are going to see that what exactly the soul and body looks like. What is the relation between the soul and the body? And as we go deeper into the knowledge and what we have listened till now in the rest of the world, people have identified soul as something else. For example, the moment we grow, we are never told that what is the difference between I and my. There was no one who could have actually told us the difference, that who is I and who is my. So what is me and what is mine? Mera aur main. So there is a difference between I and my. So the difference exactly is who am I and what is mine. So the thing is, I is the soul part and mine is the body part. The relation between soul and body can be categorized or can be said is similar to just like a pearl and a shell. You see a pearl inside a shell. And when you take the pearl out of the shell, it is just the shell and there is no value of the shell. You discard the shell once you take the pearl out of it. Similarly, the soul is just like a pearl in this shell. The body is like a shell. And then there are other things that we can identify soul and body with. It is just like the driver and the car. Such a beautiful thing, isn't it? The car is just stand still if there is no driver in it. But when the driver is there inside and when the car is being driven by the driver, you see the things are moving. Similarly, the body is like a car and the soul is like a driver. And there is a particular seat of the driver in the car. This driver can't sit at the back side and drive the car. Definitely the driver needs all the controls of the car. So wherever the controls are, the driver has to sit at that place. In the same manner, we see the body and the soul. So soul has to have a proper place to sit in this car so that it can drive this body. We will be seeing later on that where exactly the position of the soul is in this body. Next, we have another metaphor for the soul and body. It is the house and the owner. For example, as you see, when there is a house, we call it a ghar, a house, and then there is an owner in it, and someone resides in the house, then it is called a house, a place of living. If there is no owner in the house, if no one resides in the house is just vacant. It's of no use, definitely. Similarly, the whole body is just like a house, and what soul? Soul obviously is the owner of this house. Then we have other things like the chariot and the charioteer. What is the chariot? In Hindi we call it the rath, the chariot, which is being driven by a charioteer. So the soul definitely again is the charioteer and it is driving this chariot. And the chariot sometimes may have a lot of horses in it. We might have seen a chariot where there are 5 horses. So we can say those 5 horses which are driving the chariot are the 5 senses of this body. The 5 senses that we'll be seeing later on. The another metaphor for soul and body is the king and the kingdom. The soul is like a king in the body and whole of this body is like the kingdom of the soul. Similarly, because the king and the kingdom is always run and there is something in the mid that we call the ministers. There is a king, the ministers and the kingdom. So soul is the king. The 5 senses of this body are the ministers of this kingdom and the whole of the body is like a kingdom. It's like a dynasty of the soul, of the king. And the king has to be the perfect one, the perfect decision maker, so that it can uplift the kingdom as a whole. Then another soul body metaphor is just like mobile in the sim, and such a common thing to see. We all have got mobile phones and SIM card, so we know that a mobile phone is useless without a SIM card, and SIM card is such a small thing in a mobile, but so powerful. Similarly, we see the soul is a very minute, a very powerful being in the body, very small, a very tiny point of light which resides in the body, and it is just like a SIM card in this body, which you may call like a mobile phone. Then we have another example. It is the programmer and the robot. It's a beautiful example, you see. Programmer and a robot. You see, there is a programmer who's coding and writing a program, and that program is being executed by the computer that we call the central processing unit or the brain of the robot. And when that program is executed, the instructions goes to the robot, and through the mechanical, and all the mechanical part is being done by the robot. The hands move, the robot, the legs move, and we see the whole robot moving, the whole robot going here and there and doing lot of things, but the control is with the programmer. So as the programmer writes the program, in the same way the robot does things. So these are such beautiful examples, the combination of the soul and body. The soul is also just like a programmer. The whatever program, whatever instructions the soul as a programmer gives to the body, the whole of those instructions are being understood by our brain. So this brain is just like the central processing unit of the whole body. And this brain, it executes those instructions given by the soul, and the nervous system carries those messages to the whole body. And that's how our hands move, our legs move, and the whole body performs all the actions. And we have got lot and lot of, parts in the body who are working to, that the whole thing is working. There is a heart, there is a kidney, there is a stomach. So there are a lot of parts in this body which are, working properly to execute it properly. The soul is the soul is the programmer who's giving all those instructions to the body. The whole control is with the programmer, which we can say is the soul. Next, so as we went through all these things about the soul and body connection, so now we have the full understanding of what exactly a soul is and what exactly a body is. So we can say now that soul is the master of the body, the controller of the five sense organs. What are those five sense organs? First of all, the eyes, the ears, the nose, the tongue, the skin. So these are the things which are taking the input. The eyes are taking the input, the ears are taking the input, the nose is taking the input, the tongue is taking the input, the skin is taking the input by sensing things. So all these are the input devices of this body. So where these input devices are placed, definitely this is the portion which is very significant in the whole of the body. When we talk to someone, we always look that person directly into the eyes. We always talk to the forehead, because this is the way we communicate with the person. So the place of the soul, when we see to a car, where do we see in a car? We always see to the driver, who is the driver, who's driving that car. Similarly, when we see a body, we always look upon to the soul, where we always look upon to the person who's actually driving the body. And the focus is mainly on the eyes. So the place where the soul resides in the body is nowhere else. Some people say the soul resides in heart. Some people say that soul circulates in the whole body. But it's not like that. When you talk to someone, your focus is on the eyes. So similarly, when the focus is on the eyes, definitely the person whom you are talking to is somewhere sitting between the eyes. So where exactly is the position of the soul in the body? The position of the soul is in the mid of the forehead, in the center of the forehead. And this, There are a lot of things in our culture, in our traditions that we have followed from a very long time, which actually signify the position of the soul. There are a lot of religions in which there are a lot of significance given to this portion of the body, this forehead. For example, in Hinduism, we put tilak on our forehead. What does this tilak signify? Why do we have to put tilak always on the forehead? We can replace this position because nowadays fashion is changing so frequently. So we can put tilak on our cheeks as also. But since time immemorial, we have seen that tilak is always put on the forehead. So what does this signify? So it has to have a meaning. Similarly, we always bow our head wherever we go. When we go to a temple or a mosque, we always bow our head. So what exactly we are doing when we are actually putting our forehead and we are touching the ground of the mosque or the temple or a sacred place when we visit it? Because there is something that the energy that we want to give to this place, there is something here. We want the energy to come here. So this is the very sacred place. It's a very prominent place in the whole of the body. And this prominent place is because of the position of the soul. The soul resides in the center of the forehead, in the mid, where it is actually between the hypothalamus and the pituitary gland. And the soul is controlling the whole body. The soul is looking through these eyes. The soul is talking through this mouth. The soul is listening from these ears, and the soul is smelling everything, and the soul is touching, experiencing the touch, the perceptions and all the feelings that we have. It is the soul who is actually observing everything. These five sense organs are helping the soul to actually visualize everything, what is happening in the world outside. We all have made our biodata, isn't it? We all have got our curriculum vitae made for us. We always work on it and we always try to improve it. We all have done or listened to or we all have known about the anatomy of the body. In fact, the researchers, the doctors, the scientists have actually, you know, gone through the whole body. They have actually gone to every cell of the body and identified whatever is there in the cell and they have put names on it. So we know what exactly the body is made of, how many elements body have, what body contains. And similarly, the biodata of the body contains a lot of things. When we see the biodata of the body, we have a photograph in it, we have the name, the father's name, the qualifications, the occupation of the person and the activities the person performs and all the rest of the things that are related to that person. But that biodata is so temporary, don't you think so? Once the soul leaves the body, the biodata changes. But what exactly is the permanent thing attached to the soul? We are talking here about the soul. We are not talking about the body. So the biodata that you are having, it's a temporary biodata. We need to know what is my real biodata. What is my real identity? What is my real name? What is my real form? What is the my real father and mother's name? What is my real address? Where I have come from? Where I have to go? What is my real destiny? Then what was the time when I came? And what is my occupation? Exactly what my occupation is? Why I am here? Why I am doing all these things? And what my qualification is? What's the qualification of the soul? And we identify ourselves with a lot of qualification, but what exactly the soul needs and why we are working. So all these things need to be identified, and later on in the course we'll be getting to know all the aspects of the soul based on the biodata. Likewise, right now we'll be talking about the qualifications of the soul first. We have already known the name of the soul, and name of the soul can be the soul is a conscient being of light. The soul is a point of light. The soul is the energy. The soul is the consciousness, the spirit, the atma, ruhu. There are lot many things that we talk about soul. And then we also saw that the form of the soul is a point. and the soul resides in the center of the forehead. That is the place which is the address of the soul. Then, what exactly is the qualification of the soul? The qualifications of the soul is the most beautiful thing to know, because there are seven attributes to a soul, the seven qualities of a soul, the seven things that we can say. You must have heard, you all know that there are seven colors in a rainbow, and you always listen to music and there are seven notes in the music. And similarly, the soul is also having seven attributes, the seven qualities. As you see that when you see a rainbow, you won't find the rainbow interesting if any of the color is missing. You want to see the whole seven colors in the rainbow. And when you see when you listen to the music, you want to listen to the music with all the seven notes perfectly put in. If any of the note is not perfect, then the music is going to be a cacophony. It's not going to be a perfect one. Similarly, the soul without these seven virtues or the seven qualities, it's just, you know, of no use. The soul nowadays, what is happening, the search of these seven qualities, the search of these seven attributes is what we are doing and what we are actually looking up to. So what those seven qualities of the soul are? What are those seven attributes? One of them is knowledge. Another one is purity, then it is love, then peace, then happiness, then bliss, and then power. So now we will be identifying all these seven virtues in detail. We'll be knowing about all these seven virtues. Don't you want to know about the virtues, what we really demand? You always know that the body is made of five elements, and somehow the body actually works upon or fulfills the demand of the seven elements anyhow, by any means. Like if we are thirsty, if there is scarcity of water, if there is no water in the body, we always feel like having water and we quench our thirst immediately by having water. When the body needs energy, then we always have food and the circulation of air is always happening. We are inhaling and exhaling air and we are surrounded with atmospheric pressure. We have earth beneath us. So there are all the five elements in a way are coming inside the body, and the body is when it demands the five elements, it comes and it goes. But when the soul needs these seven elements, when the soul needs its seven qualities, what soul has to do to have these seven qualities inside? So the seven qualities are so important for the soul, these seven virtues are so important for the soul, that now we have actually identified ourselves to achieve these seven virtues through different things, through different aspects. Now we have replaced these seven virtues with different vices. For example, when it comes to knowledge, this child is so inquisitive to ask questions, to know about the world. The child asks a lot of questions to you and you always, you know, divert his mind, telling him that it's not required, you do your job, you do this thing, don't ask such questions. We actually suppress the inquisitive nature of a child, but the child is still so inquisitive to know things. We also have been so inquisitive to know things, but it's not about the knowledge of the world that we need. It's not about the knowledge that is, you know, already there in a lot of libraries, a lot of books being written by the people, a lot of things being told from the wise men in this world. We definitely want to know something which is beyond the knowledge that we already have in this world, which is the spiritual knowledge. Because this spiritual knowledge is the missing link. And it is because of the loss of this spiritual knowledge, the missing of this spiritual knowledge, we have actually ended up having lot of misunderstandings and lot of doubts being created, a blind faith being generated, and nowadays we have even lost faith in everything. We have lost faith in religion, we have lost faith in God, we have lost faith in ourselves, we have lost faith in people, the world. So the lack of knowledge is actually the reason, the real knowledge that we need to have is the reason of all these things having. And the other knowledge that we have in the world is the knowledge to achieve something. Lot of different things, like scientists have got a different perception of knowledge. They feel that knowing everything, that where the world started from, how the world is going to be. So that knowledge has actually taken a different form. It has converted into ego. So ego is actually ignorance. Ego is the worst form of ignorance, and ignorance is like, you know, darkness. So we see darkness everywhere. There is no light. We always feel and we always say, I want light. I want the light of knowledge in my life. So who's going to bring that knowledge? Who's going to bring that light in my life? We need to have spiritual knowledge, the real knowledge. The spiritual knowledge brings enlightenment in our life. Then next thing is purity. Purity is being replaced with obscene and waste thoughts and wrong deeds. So purity is absolutely related with our sense organs. Nowadays, each and every sense organ perceive lot of waste things and useless stuff in the whole world. And that's how the purity of all the senses has, you know, have deteriorated day by day. The eyes are watching things that the eye shouldn't watch. The ears are listening those things which we should not listen. The mouth is speaking that stuff that we shouldn't speak. And the deeds that we are doing, the work that we are doing, whatever actions we are performing are definitely a reflection of the, you know, of the loss of purity, the loss of actually the impurity that we have within ourselves. Then the value of love. The value of love is being replaced with self-interest and selfishness. We seek love, we want love, but we don't know what's the definition of love. Who is the one in the world who doesn't want love? Everyone wants love. But the love has actually been replaced with a lot of self-interest. We want to give love, we want to get love. But we want something in return. We are expecting each other. But we all are depleted batteries. Depleted batteries can't satisfy each other. The one with whom we are expecting love, that person is also expecting love from me. So a person who's already expecting can't give love. So love is being replaced with self-interest, selfishness. Then we have peace. The peace, the virtue of peace being replaced with anger, with tension, with a lot of fear. We feel peacelessness in our lives because there is not even a single day in our life when we are not angry. We are always angry about something or another thing happening. We have got tensions and a lot of fears. We feel tension as normal. We feel if there is tension, because tension is like, you know, such a normal thing to happen, because everyone has got tension nowadays. Even a small child has got tension that he has to gain good marks and he has to perform good. And similarly, we have got a lot of fears. So where is, when we talk about peace, we do a lot of peace conferences, but there has been peace somewhere. So where do we find peace then? Because now it is replaced. Then the another virtue is happiness. Where to find happiness? Happiness is being replaced with greed and jealousy. We actually find happiness conditional. We always feel, if I'm going to have that dress, I'll be happy. This is going to be the happiest moment of my life. Why do we always have to say the particular moment has to be the happiest moment? We feel every moment of your life should be a happiest moment. But we have made our happiness conditional. We always put high aims in our lives and we feel that when we are going to achieve that aim, definitely happiness would come. So we have identified happiness with greed and jealousy. If we see other person having a bigger car, having a more, you know, status, more position than what I have, we feel jealous about it and we feel happy if we grow in such a way that we actually suppress that person. Then there is another virtue. It's called bliss. This virtue is being replaced with attachments, with gluttony, the feeling to, you know, gain more, the feeling to accumulate more. When we talk about bliss, in Hindi we call it as Anand. We have got a lot of sages who have put this name Anand at the back of their names. So when it comes to bliss, Anand is such a missing thing nowadays in our life. And we are taking Anand, in taking bliss, experiencing bliss with different things. We want bliss for the eyes, we want bliss to the mouth, and we want bliss to the ears. But how are we getting it? When we want bliss, Anand, to the eyes, we go and watch the nature and we enjoy the nature, and we feel blissful, we feel what the beauty of the nature is, we appreciate it. Then when we talk about bliss for the tongue, the taste of tongue, the different taste of the tongue, we have lot of foods varieties with us, so we are taking bliss with that, we are identifying bliss with that when we are having lot of varieties to eat. So the bliss is actually replaced with the things of the sense organs, so we are taking bliss through it. Then next virtue is the power. The power is nowadays misunderstood with muscular strength or the power of the position or the powers of arms and ammunition. We are actually doing the show off of lot of power that we have. We are showing our muscular strength at how much powerful I am. We don't feel the soul of the power of the soul. The power of the soul is actually the willpower. In fact, the person who is having lot of muscular strength, if the willpower is broken, we feel that person is broken. Similarly, when we show off the power of arms and ammunition, we are actually showing something which is so temporary, which is actually demolishing everything, which is actually something that shouldn't be called a power. The power of the soul is the power that we should show off, that we should showcase, but that power is missing. So all these seven virtues are the property of the soul, the qualities of the soul, and nowadays we are missing these seven virtues. So the main objective to meditate, the main objective of this Raja Yoga meditation is to fill the battery of the soul and fill the soul with all of these seven qualities and seven virtues. So in the next chapter, in the next session, we'll be talking about these virtues and how we fill the soul with these virtues and how the soul performs our daily activities and how the soul is working. So we shall be knowing more about the soul and our self-identity in the next session. So be there. Om Shanti.